Continue with the preaching of your word, Almighty God. As Pastor Igor was here from Bethel today, and he was sharing his experiences of sharing the good news, we are inspired. We're encouraged in doing that. So now, Father, as we continue to hear your message today, may you bless it, may you anoint it. May it go forth and accomplish all you desire it to do. We ask by the power and the anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God. We give you all glory, honor, and praise in Yeshua's name. Amen. So this message is going to be short and brief, and that's fine because that's the way we prepared it for today. It'll be given in parts, okay? And so I've been preaching on a series. If you'd like to turn to the book of Matthew, in the Hebrew, it's pronounced Matthiahu. And we're in chapter 27, and we're beginning at verse number 1. This second message in the series is entitled Yeshua's Trials, Part 2. A subtitle underneath that could be Your Heavenly Father's Gift to You. Okay? And the focus on this passage is that Yeshua is brought before Pilate, so he's on the way. But another part of this, and it's very, very unique, is that in the scripture, it's like we're focusing on one event, very, very important. Then all of a sudden, the Spirit of Living God tells Matthiahu to stop. And now to give record on another event. And that is the death or the suicide of Yehuda, Judah. And just for a side note here, just think about this. When Judah was born, okay, they didn't name him until his Brit Milah, which is his circumcision. And so traditionally, that's when he would receive his name, all right? And just think about his father and his mother rejoicing in the Lord as they brought him before the individual who would do the circumcision, the Brit Milah. And after that was performed, they would ask the father, what is his name? And the father said this, his name is Yehuda, which in Hebrew means praiser of God. What hopes, what plans, what dreams they had for this son. In that they gave him this name, the praiser of God. So let us begin in Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. Early in the morning, all the head kohenim and the elders met to plan how to bring about Yeshua's death. Verse 2, they put him in chains and led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Now all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Living God speaks to Matthew, who's now writing this from memory. And you know this. As a believer in Messiah, as we study God's word, okay? Matthew never read the book of Matthew until after it was written. So when he meditated on the word of God, it was the Tanakh, it was the Psalms, it was Proverbs, it was the major and minor prophets. That was the word of God to him. So all of a sudden, the Spirit of Living God tells him, now stop, now record now what happened on this other event. You weren't there, but I'll give you the details. Verse 3. When Yehuda Judah had betrayed him, who's the him here but Yeshua, that he had been condemned, Yeshua had been condemned, he was seized with remorse, and he returned the 30 silver coins to the head kohenim and the elders, saying, I have sinned, betraying an innocent man unto death. What is it that to us, they answered, that's your problem. I pause here just for a moment. Who was he speaking to but the high priest of Israel, the head kohen? What was there a way unto God for reconciliation once you committed sin? You were to bring what? a sacrifice. Okay? And so this high priest is declaring to him, what you done is evil. And who was the agent on earth for him to bring the sacrifice to be sacrificed on his behalf? But a priest, a Levite. And what are his words that come out of his mouth? Because this head Koinim was an evil man. Just moments ago, he sat in with the Sanhedrin and they were playing about Yeshua's death. So we have to take all these into consideration. From Judah, whose name means praiser of the Almighty God, that there's not no option here from the priesthood for him to go and receive forgiveness of his sin. Because you know what? The high priest himself, along with those in the Sanhedrin who desired to put about Yeshua's death, could care less about someone saying that they are now have committed evil. When you brought your sin offering, a lamb or a goat or a pigeon, if you were poor, you were to confess that sin before a Levite or a priest. But what do you do when the priest is corrupted himself? And his own hands are about to be filled and covered with the blood of the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. So now let us continue here. They answered, "That's your problem." Now, hurling the pieces of silver into the sanctuary, he left and he went off and he hanged himself. Why did he do this? Because he believed that there was no hope for him. In some of your translations, it says this words in the King James, that he repented. But in this translation, it says this: he became sorrowful and remorseful. But repentance was not birthed in him. Even though he confessed the truth, "I've now betrayed an innocent life unto death," there still was not repentance here. There was just simply acknowledgement of the fact. Have you ever been in a courtroom where someone was found guilty of murder, and they asked the accused, "Do you have any lasting comments before we're about to pronounce judgment upon you?" Sometimes the criminal will break down and cry and say, "I'm sorry for my deed. I don't know what came over me." And others will look at you with cold eyes and cold hearts and say nothing. So this was what was going on in Judah's heart. So let us continue here. He hanged himself. The head Koinim took the silver coins and said, "It's prohibited to put this coins into the temple treasury because it is now blood money." Think about that. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was blood money. Why? Because he was also complicit in doing evil. The high priest of Israel and part of the Sanhedrin. You got to say the facts as they are facts here. As Alan shared earlier about the Sanhedrin, they were very jealous of Yeshua because he's walking in power and anointing. Alan shared today about Nicodemus. He said, "The very words of God are coming from you." Yet they were still blind, for there was a veil over their eyes. But there's hope and there's opportunity here. Continuing in verse 7. "So they decided to use it to buy a potter's field as a cemetery for foreigners. This is how it came about to be called the Field of Blood, and a name it still bears." In verse 9, "Then Zechariah the prophet spoke." What he spoke was fulfilled. And they took the 30 silver coins, which was the price the people of Israel had agreed to pay for him. And they used them to buy a potter's field, just as the Lord directed them. That's found in Zechariah 11, 12, and 13. Where Hebrew, the word yodzer means treasury. It also means in this area here, the potter. And going on in Zechariah, I said to them, if it seems good to you, give me my wages. If not, don't. So they weighed out my wages 30 silver shekels. That is 12 ounces. And so this was all playing in the mind of Matthew, because he knew what the Tanakh said. He knew Zechariah. And he now realized the full revelation of this. Can you imagine that? Here you're writing the good news that is to be sent to the Jewish people, and the Spirit of the living God is filling in the gaps for you, and he's bringing revelation to you. Continuing there in Zechariah. Concerning that pricey sum at which they valued me, Adonai said, throw it into the treasury. So I took the 30 shekels and threw them into the treasury in the house of Adonai. How many times have we read Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 10, and didn't realize that this was messianic prophecy of the Messiah that was being fulfilled? There are many things in Scripture that are hidden to our eyes, but as we meditate on this Scripture, the light of the gospel comes out. So continuing here, commentary on verse 2. Pilate was the governor. He was Pontius Pilate. He was a prefect of Judah from 26 to 36 common era, and therefore the judge in the trial of Yeshua. So going on, in Matthew 27, 2, when Yeshua came before Anan, the former high priest, they tied him up in ropes when they bound him at Gethsemane. Now they're binding him in chains, more severe. And Matthew 27, 2 says this, they put him in chains, literally binding him. In the Hebrew, it's called the Akidak Yitzhak, the binding of Isaac. Remember earlier, Father Abraham was told to take his son and offer him up on Mount Moriah. And the angel of Adonai, who was Yeshua, said, stop, do not harm the boy, for Adonai has given you provision. What was to the left or the right of Abraham? He saw a ram in the thicket. This is all being played out. So continuing here. The binding of Isaac plays a prominent role in Judaism. In Messianic Jews or Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, it says this. By trusting Abraham, when he was put to the test, he offered up Yitzhak as a sacrifice. Yes, he offered up his only son, who had received the promises, to whom it had been said, what is called your seed will be Yitzhak. For he had concluded that God even then could raise people from the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did so receive him back, as if from the dead. Because Abraham was prepared to sacrifice Isaac there. And what does John say? Yohanan chapter 2, verses 21 through 23 declare that Yeshua, when he was speaking, but the temple that he, Yeshua, had spoken of was his own body. Therefore, when he, Yeshua, was raised from the dead, his Talmudim, the disciples, they remembered it, that he had said this, and they trusted in the Tanakh. And in that what Yeshua had said. And now while Yeshua was in Jerusalem, at the Pesach Passover festival, there were many people who believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he had performed. So this is all the background that's going on. So now let us focus on the Akidah, which is the binding. This provides for us a prophetic picture of Yeshua the Messiah as a promised Lamb of God, the Sheha Elohim, who takes away the sins of the world. Yohanan, John 1:29 declares. So both Yitzhak, Isaac, and Yeshua were born miraculously, were they not? They were both only sons. Both were to be sacrificed by their fathers on Mount Moriah. Both were to be resurrected on the third day. Bereshit 22:5. Because if you study the scripture in Genesis 22:5, it was a three-day journey. So when God spoke to Abraham's heart, he believed that literally in his heart that Isaac died before he even left, because he was prepared to give his life as the Lord had commanded. So continuing here, both Yitzhak and Yeshua willingly took up themselves of this execution, and both revealed that one could be sacrificed for another, a ram for Yitzhak, Isaac, and Yeshua for all people. The first mention of the word love in the Tanakh, Ahava, is found in Bereshit, which is Genesis 22:2. It refers to the father's love of his only son, who was offered as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah, the very literal place of Yeshua's execution stake or the crucifixion. The expression of Abba, Father's God's loves, is found in which book? But Yohanan, John, which Alan shared during his Torah reading. And this is what it says, John 3:16. For Abba, Father God, so loved the world that he gave his only unique son, Yeshua, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed. Now on to Matthew 27:3. There is an interruption of the flow of this passage. Matthew's good news inserts this incident into the narrative, which deals with the ultimate outcome of Judah the betrayer. But we must flash back here. During the Pesach or Passover, who was to Yeshua's right but Yohanan, John, because he was the youngest, and he was there to ask the four questions. If you've never experienced a Passover, look it up. Because there are four questions that are asked by the youngest individual that's there at the Passover. But what was to his left in the place of honor? The man of praise, Yehuda. And so while this was going on, Yeshua said these words, "One of you are about to betray me." And so what all the Talmudim, they start asking themselves, could it be me? And then they ask the Lord himself, is it I? And when Yehuda, the praiser, turns to Yeshua, and he says, Messiah, it is I. He says, now go now and do what you must do. And it says in the scripture, instantaneously, what happens? But Hasatan enters into him. He comes into that room while Pesach is being celebrated. And you know what? The only one who is aware that this is taking place is Yeshua himself. All those other 11, they do not have the spiritual discernment to even recognize the presence of Hasatan filling one of their members of that body and assembly. And think about this for 1 second. Yehuda Judah had the power and authority in Yeshua's name to cast out demons. He had full knowledge of what had come into him. If he desired at that moment, he could have turned to Messiah and said these words, I don't know what's come over me, Yeshua, but something has come into me. And it's not the presence of yourself or the Father or the Spirit of the living God. But God did not go against his free will. See, the enemy, through Hasatan or any one of his lower demons, can come and oppress a believer and speak to them day and night and drive them literally crazy and tell them all these evil things. See, each of us have a free will. And so with this, Judah chose not the presence of Yeshua or the presence of the Ruach or the presence of Abba, Father God, but he embraced of his own free will the presence of Hasatan because he had a choice. And he left the Pesach meal and went where? But to go to receive his 30 pieces of silver. This is all taking place. That's why Rav Shaul warned in the scripture, he fears the Lord to love and serve him all the days of his life so he will not be a castaway. Isn't it amazing? Of the 12, when Yeshua went out and he called them forward, Yeshua had the presence of mind. He had the discernment knowing that this one who went by the name of Praiser of Adonai, Praiser of God, would one day in the future betray him. This is all part of the balance. And that's why I encourage brothers and sisters in Messiah to deal with sin in your life. Because actually what you're doing when you allow sin as a believer in Messiah, you knowingly know what you're doing. Let's don't play games. In the presence of Almighty Abba, Father God, the Ruach HaKodesh, and Yeshua himself, for he dwells within us, he sits upon the throne of our lives, we reject their presence in our lives, and we accept the presence of Hasatan. And we invite him to sit on the thrones in our lives. We allow these footholds. Does not Scripture warn us, put on the armor of God? Take every thought captive and line it up towards the Word of God, whether it is pure, true. And what does the Scripture say? That in the latter days that they all shall become deceiving spirits, false prophets, and that the very chosen of God, elect in some translation, can be deceived. And what was Yeshua doing as he was coming up to Jerusalem to celebrate his last Pesach, Passover? He warned them against false prophets and false teachers, false messiahs. And if it's worth for Yeshua to warn us about these things, and Rav Shaul later to warn us about these things, should we not take these words seriously? God, Hasatan cannot snatch us from the Father's embrace. But you and I, by our own free will, can decide to go another way, increment by increment. So continuing here. Only in Luke, a similar incident is recorded by Luke, but it's not in the Gospel Luke. Yohanan John did not record this, and neither did Mark. Only Matthew recorded this. But if you turn quickly, and we'll end on this portion today. Acts 1, verses 15 through 26. During this period, when a group of believers numbered about 120, and Kepha, who is Peter, stood up and addressed his fellow believers. Brothers, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of living God, spoke in advance through Malachim, King David, about Yehuda, this Judah. And these words of the Tanakh had to be fulfilled. He was a guide for those who arrested Yeshua. He was one of us and being assigned a part in our work. With the money Yehuda received for his evil deed, he bought a field. And there he fell to his death. His body swelled up and burst open, and all his insides spilled out. This became known to everyone throughout Jerusalem. So they call that field Hakal Dema, which in their language means field of blood. Who's writing this? But Luke. It's a book of Acts. Was he original 12? No, he was not. Who's he writing to? But Theophilus, a person who was in authority in another land. Continuing here. Verse 20. Now Cephas said, who is Peter, it is written in the book of Tehillim, which is Psalms, let his estate become desolate. Who's he speaking of? But the son of perdition, Yehuda, the betrayer. Let there be no one to live in it. Tehillim, Psalm 69, 26 or 25 in some versions. And let someone else take his place as a supervisor. Tehillim, Psalms 109:8, fulfillment of both those portions of the Psalms. Therefore, one of the men who had been with us continually throughout the time that the Lord Yeshua traveled among us, from the time Yohanan, John, was immersing or baptizing people until the day Yeshua was taken up from us. Taken up what? In the ascension, after he raised from the dead. One of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. Why had there been had to be 12? Are there not 12 tribes of Israel? So there had to be 12 apostles. When one was taken away through his own betrayal, he committed suicide, he had to be replaced. So continuing here. Verse 23. They nominated two men, Joseph Barsaba, Joseph the son of Saba, surnamed Justus, and Matthiahu. Wait a second, another Matthew? Absolutely. Did you know that Mark, the Gospel of Mark, his Hebrew name is Yohanan? How confusing would this be? Matthiahu, Matthew, first book. Second book, Luke. Third book, Yohanan. Fourth book, Yohanan. That's why he went by his Greek name, Mark, so there would be known the difference between the two. So here is another Matthew that is now being considered. They prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over the work and the office of the emissary that Judah abandoned to go where he belongs. How could he say that? Because the scripture said that he was the son of perdition. In Yohanan, John 17, which I preached a few Shabbats ago, Yeshua was praying, and he's praying for all his Talmudim. He said, Father, by the power of your name, you kept all the disciples except one. Continuing here. Verse 26. They drew lots to decide between the two, and the lot fell to Matthiahu. So he was added to the 11 emissaries. Did you know that there were two Yehudas in the original 12? Now there are two Matthiahus, two Matthews. Let's continue here. So this is the parenthesis in Cephas' speech to explain to the reader what had happened to the person Yehuda that the group of Talmudim, the disciples, are now wanting to be replaced. Luke only inserts this story here as a necessary piece to the continual unfolding of the story of the early Messianic community. He, along with Mark and Yohanan, found no reason to mention the incident in the main body of the Good News accounts. Matthew, however, does and can be seen to be giving a reader a fuller account of the incident than Luke. So the fate of Yehuda is extremely important to the writer of Matthew. And the insertion at this point seems to be clear indication that the incident took place at this point. Notice that the scripture says that it occurred when Judah saw that Yeshua was condemned. Matthew 27:3. This happened after Sanhedrin had sat down and decided how they were to bring charges before now Rome. Why? Because they did not have the authority and power to put anyone to death. They had to prove to Rome why Yeshua had to be put to death. So continuing here. The governor Pilate, this was before the procession that leads Yeshua to the Antonian fortress. So now we need to reconcile the differences now between these two passages that have come down to us. First, Matthew 27:5 records that Yeshua hanged himself, whereas Acts 1:18 records that there he fell to his death, and his body was swallowed up and burst open, and all his insides spilled out. However, the first doesn't deny the other. It is possible that upon hanging himself, that the rope was either fastened improperly or it snapped, falling from the height onto sharp, protruding rocks. He sliced open his stomach. So Judah hanged himself. But listen to this. No Jew would defile himself during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, Pesach. Why? You couldn't touch a corpse. Otherwise, you'd be seen as unclean. And with the hot sun would have been brought on rapid decomposition of the body till it fell to the ground and burst open. Second, Matthew 27:7-8 records that the head kohen took the silver coins and said, "It is prohibited for us to put them into the temple treasury because it is blood money." So they decided to use it to buy a potter's field as a cemetery for foreigners. Whereas Acts 1:18 records that it was Yehuda himself who purchased the field. Wait a second. The Bible contradicts itself. Really? Let us continue. Dr. Alfred Edersheim, who is a Messianic believer and theologian, explains this for us. This is what he writes and parallels a major point. And so he wrote that it was not lawful to take into the temple treasury for the purchase of sacred things. The money had been unlawfully gained. In such cases, Jewish law prohibited that money was to be restored now to the donor. If he insisted on giving it, he should then be induced to spend it for something for public welfare to benefit the whole community. So the head kohenim was therefore only acting as an agent in the transaction on behalf of Yehuda. He was not purchasing the land for himself. Besides, it would have been difficult for Judah, to have thrown silver coins into the treasury, then at the same time dive back in, gather up all those 30 coins, and taken out with him and completed a transaction on the festival day of Pesach. All right? And so that is how Alfred Edersheim blends these two scriptures. And the word of God has no conflict. Now we need to deal now with Yehuda's repentance that is recorded in some translations. In Matthew 27:3, it should be as Dr. David Stern of the Complete Jewish Bible has translated Matthew 27:3. When Judah, who had betrayed him, saw that Yeshua had been condemned, he was seized with remorse. He was sorry for what he did, but this did not bring repentance. As a child, and your parent says to you, "Go up to your brother and tell them that you're sorry," I'd march up there. "I'm sorry." "Okay," he said, "you're sorry. Now you must forgive him." "I forgive you." Was there repentance given? Was there forgiveness given? Absolutely not. So continuing here. He was sorry for what he had done, and he did not repent. And he returned the 30 silver coins to the head kohenim and the elders, saying, "I've sinned in betraying an innocent man to death." So with repentance, the word employed here means to care afterwards or now to regret. Have you ever did something and found out that you did it and you said, "No, I didn't do it"? And then you're standing there and you're regretting that you now have to tell the truth because there's great evidence that what you've done is actually what you've done. Continuing. But it does not indicate any change of heart. And the good news records and indicates a simple feeling of regret that tried to put an action right without the change of a heart that's necessary for repentance to take place. Compare Yehuda to Kepha. He denied Yeshua 3 times. The rooster crows, and what it says, he went out and he cried bitterly. But did he go commit suicide? No. Because he realized what he did, and his remorse brought about what? Repentance. And if we fast forward in the future, it says that after Yeshua arose, And he didn't do it immediately. But they were out back fishing. Peter went back to fishing. Yohanan and James, Jacob went back to fishing. The other one, 11, they went together as a group and they went fishing. And they went out fishing all night. And it says what? Till the very next morning. And there they saw on the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee, somebody there had a campfire that was what? Cooking fish. And he called them over. And Cephas recognizes him. He jumps out of the boat and he just starts swimming. And he goes there and he sees Yeshua. And this was after the time of his resurrection, before his ascension. And so what he says to him, he says, now come and eat. And they eat and they taste the fish. They recognize Yeshua for who he is. And so Yeshua puts his arm around Cephas and says, come on, we need to talk. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. They walk a little further. He turns to him. Do you love me, Cephas? Yes. Feed my lambs. Third time. Cephas, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. And there's reconciliation. There was repentance, but not with Judah. Can you imagine if Judah would have came to himself after the throwing in the coins and said, you know what? This high priest is corrupt. I've done evil. But I'm just going to walk along and see exactly what happens to Yeshua. Could he not been standing next to Yohanan with Miriam and the other Miriam? One of them was Yeshua's mother. But you know what? What does the scripture record? He chose to go his own way. And that's why in scripture it records this. This is Yeshua's own words when he spoke about Yehuda, Judah. He said it would have been better for him never to ever been born. God knows our hearts. We don't know it. And if you're allowing sin in your life and it does not bring true repentance, your potential to reject the presence of Abba, Father God, and Yeshua, and the Ruach. Times of playing games is over, my brothers and sisters. Any sin that we're doing in secret shall be revealed. That's why we need to have an open relationship with Abba, Father God, Yeshua, and the Spirit of Living God. And I do not sit in judgment on anyone because there's areas in my life that the Lord is speaking to me as I was preparing this message that he needs to allow myself to give him and open up those areas of my life. He who says he is without sin is what? A liar. How can you say these words, Rabbi? I got to say the truth so that we can all walk in deliverance. Do not walk in the deception of your own heart as Judah did. We'll end the message here today. Amen. But the good news is this, that Yeshua, through his Son, through the Father, gave his life so that all people could come to know and trust him. There was only one individual marked throughout all history that lived with Yeshua for 3 years, walked in the fullness and the power of God, but when it came down to it, he allowed the presence of Hasatan to come into him. He rejected salvation, which was not just a ticket, but a person. It's a relationship. That's what salvation is all about. Heaven and all that other stuff, the crown that you'll receive of eternal life, what are you to do? Cast that before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It's all about him. Don't let the enemy deceive you. You're kept by the power of God. But we're all given a free will. There's a balance here. Otherwise, you walk a life of idolatry. And you can fill in the blank the name of your God. Shabbat Shalom.